In this episode of A Side of Data, I interview Sander Leemans about process discovery algorithms from process mining. This is Anton Yeshenko, and welcome to A Side of Data, a podcast about unconventional side of data science. On the show today, computer scientist who developed inductive miner, that is arguably most advanced process discovery algorithm. He is an assistant professor of Queensland University of Technology and does research and business process mining. Sander Leemans, welcome to A Side of Data. Good evening.
Good morning. Glad to be on. Glad to be on your show.
Thank you for joining. So what I wanted to discuss with you, because you're a professional process discovery from process mining, is basically, the process discovery itself. Because what I notice is that there are many, like a lot of hype around process mining nowadays. I even checked Wikipedia recently about just process mining article. And I see that there are like every few weeks a new change, and the new change is to add a new tool that's being developed. So now I found on Wikipedia that 25 commercial tools and 5 tools that is open source, and everyone is developing new tools, etc., because I guess it's very commercially viable. But as I also noticed that all these algorithms, they base like all these tools, the main part of it is process discovery algorithm, usually. And so what I wanted to talk to you about it and ask first is, what is process discovery in the first place?
Yeah, so I must admit, 2 weeks ago I was in Aachen, Germany, on the process mining conference, and yeah, I was also amazed by the sheer number of vendors which have all kinds of different process mining tools that are they were looking, of course, for customers. And it really surprised me how many there were, because a couple of years ago there were just a handful, and now I believe there were over 30 vendors on that conference. So even I was surprised. Let's say process discovery is the first step of any process mining project. So of course after getting the data. So in a real life process mining project, typically you would first extract process data from your SAP system, from your workflow management system, or even from some other type of database or event log. And where process discovery comes in is when you have the data and you want to discover a process model. So a process model describes, in its most basic forms, all kinds of extensions, but process model describes which steps can be executed in a particular business process and in what order, and where the decisions are, whether there are things that can be done in parallel, and so on and so on.
Okay.
So,
would you, just because you're professional at building algorithms, maybe can you describe the example of inductive miner, how these algorithms in general work? Because because everyone writes, I also read the articles that are now appearing that process discovery is like an awesome tool, but how do they actually work under the hood? Like just maybe simplified, of course, example.
So inductive miner is a recursive algorithm. So it tries to make this event log that you start with, it tries to split it into a couple of smaller logs. And then,
okay, so in the first place, event log, it contains basically many executions of processes, or like first, what is in the event log, just to make it more structured?
An event log contains, for each customer, contains one trace. So an event log is a set of a collection of traces, and each trace represents one customer or order or claim. So one run through the process, And what is then written in the event log is the steps that were executed for each trace. Yes, so inductive miner takes an event log and tries to split it. And it has several tricks to do that. But the very basic idea is it tries to make the event log smaller by splitting it into multiple parts, and then it recurses. So it applies again inductive miner on the smaller logs. Now it does that mainly by trying to find the most prominent behavior in the event log. So if it detects that the most important behavior in the event log is a sequence, then it will split the log accordingly to the sequence, and then you have two smaller logs. Similarly, there is exclusive choice, loop, concurrency, or called parallelism, and there are a couple more advances, just the inclusive choice and the interleaved. So inductive miner will try to identify which of these types of behavior is most prominent in event log using graph theory, and then split the log accordingly. And then you have a couple of smaller problems. And if you do that recursively up until you cannot do it any further, then you have actually discovered a process model, in particular a process tree.
Okay, so what you're trying to say that it splits the event log, not like clustering the traces into separate sets, but it's basically the finding the choices, and then by basically you save the choice and you split it before the choice and after.
There are different that depends on which type of behavior is identified. So for the choice, for the exclusive choice, then it's decided for each trace in the event log which of the choice was made here. So then you split based on traces. But for sequence, if you discover that the most prominent behavior is a sequence of something followed by something else, then you cut each trace in half just on the spot where you discovered that the sequence went over. So the event log can get smaller either by the number of traces or by the number of events in each trace.
So if you discover, for example, that there's like delivery, payment, and going for the break, these three activities follow one another in many traces, then you basically first take these three and then everything else, but you save these three and cut every trace by these first three, like delivery, payment, break.
Yeah, so if you find that that's the most prominent behavior, it will split every trace in a trace for deliver, a trace for second was payment, right? Mm-hmm. And another one, a third one for your last option. Okay. So, and these three go in a different event log, and these three smaller event logs, then they are three new process mining problems, but they are smaller than the one you started with. So you can again apply inductive miner up until it doesn't work anymore.
Okay, and then by doing that, you save this basically intermediate points, and you can then display it as a part of the model.
Yeah, that becomes your model. So you have discovered that there is a sequence between three smaller things, and then once you've discovered these smaller things, you kind of chain them together in a sequence in a model, and then you have your model.
And basically, when you have this kind of discovered model, you can also simplify it by just first choosing the choices that you made first, and it will be the most general model, right?
Yeah, so there are several versions of inductive miner. So the very first one, the very basic one, guarantees fitness. So it guarantees that the model will be able to describe every trace in the event log. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, it will only decide that there is some most prominent behavior if it can really see it. So that particular algorithm doesn't really work well in practice. That's why we developed a lot of other variants to tackle, for instance, noise or incomplete behavior.
Mm-hmm. I saw there are around 7 papers about different versions, right?
Yes, and counting.
Yeah, by the way, congratulations on winning the Best Demo award with your Directly Follows Visual Miner this year.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're still on the frontier of research here.
Yes, yes. So that was not so much a process discovery problem that we solved there, but rather conformance checking. So if you have discovered a model, then it's a very good thing to then check whether this model actually represents the event log well. And in order to make that a little bit easier for users, we developed a Directly Follows based tool that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually I checked it. It's it looks nice. One more question: what I want to ask is that I also noticed that apart from tool being developed so much, there are also algorithms that scientific community develops. It's also basically a lot. There is basically review of process discovery algorithms, and it says that every year there are around 10 different papers coming out with new algorithms. Why is that? What's so hard here that you need 10 algorithms per year? Because I'm started to think, because process mining as a field has this problem of process discovery, and it's quite unique for this field. But other problems, let's assume predicting something, it's quite you can share it with other fields. So is it the problem that process mining has only one problem, or why do you need so many algorithms?
Well, process discovery is interesting because it's hard, at least for academics. So the main source that it is hard is that very often there is no real one perfect solution. So if you have a particular event log that was derived from a process that is mm-hmm. running in an organization, so you have an event log, the model that you want to get might depend on your use case. So, for instance, if you are interested in what's the global path, what's the happy path, what are most of my customers doing in respect to my organization, that requires a completely different model than if you have an auditing question and you want to see each and every possibility that goes on in your process. So there are a lot of competing quality criteria with respect to process discovery. So very often, even if you look at the process by hand, you would not be able to say this model is the best and that's the one I want to get. It simply depends on the use case.
Mm-hmm. So there are these criteria: fitness, generalization, what else?
Yeah. So. Indeed, fitness and precision are the most prominent one and let's say the most intuitive ones. So fitness describes what part of the event log is also part in your model. So in data mining, this would be called recall. The other way around, precision describes what part of the model has actually been observed in the event log. So a model you could make a model that describes everything, any possible behavior you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Then it would have a very good fitness, but a very bad precision because it describes so many traces that you haven't seen an event log. But these are not the only ones. Simplicity is also very, very important because typically what we want to do with the model is look at it or have business owners look at it or management look at it. And if the model is very complex, or doesn't have a good layout, then it's very difficult to get knowledge from it. And so simplicity is almost, or if not more important than fitness and precision. And then finally, a problem that keeps appearing is the problem of semantics and soundness. So in a lot of commercial tools, it's not really clear that the picture you see with boxes and arrows, what it actually means. So if you have a customer, can you tell me, does this customer fit the model? That's a very fundamental question that makes it very difficult to validate conclusions on such a model.
Yeah, so you're trying to say that some tools, they're basically the errors. If you follow the error, sometimes it's not even like it's never was in the log, that kind of trace, right?
Yeah, that would be a precision issue. But if the semantics of the model are not clear, then it becomes difficult to say this trace was never observed in the event log. And you also have models where you simply get stuck at some point. You end up in a deadlock. Well, such models we also try to avoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also I noticed that there are many different basically representations of the result of the log. Like, I mean, first you can start model type that is declarative or procedural or hybrid, and also modeling languages. There are a lot of them: BPM, BPMN, PetriNets, CasualNet, States Machines, and graphs, etc. So, what? How can you comment on such a variety of different things here?
Well, there are two, or actually three main groups of models. One is used by many commercial tools, and I already touched on it. It's directly follows models, but very often these do not have precise semantics defined. So our paper is an exception to that, but in general, most commercial tools offer you a directly follows model, and they don't tell you how to actually read it.
And what is directly follow models?
Directly follows model shows you which activities can follow one another directly. So it's the most simple form of process model. You have an activity in a box and then an outgoing arrow to another box, and that means that the first activity can be directly followed by the other one.
So like in that example, it would be we would have discovered a model that delivery, and then there will be an arrow to payment and another arrow to break.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So the second type of model is the procedural models, as you said. Those are the PetriNets, BPMN, process trees. And they describe, or YOL models, they describe what can happen. So you have an explicit state, and the model will tell you this step can come next.
And so what's the difference between directly follows? I'm not getting.
Well,
I
directly
thought that
follows
the same,
is a specific type of procedural model.
Okay.
So these models, procedural models, they're quite easy to read. So if you have, if you look at the model, you can easily see what goes on in there. So the most process discovery techniques focus on such models. Now the third category is declarative models, and declarative models, they don't tell you what step is next, but they only tell you which steps you cannot take. So where procedural model describes what you can do, a declarative model tells you what you cannot do. So that works with constraints, and constraints limit the steps you can take.
So constraints is like rules, right? Is it like rules of what? And for example, in this case, it would be after, like, if we... It cannot happen that the payment happened before delivery, for example, right?
The rule.
Exactly.
Okay.
That could be a rule. And if your process is very, let's say, liberal, so you can do all kinds of things except that payment should happen before delivery, that's very easy to express in a declarative model.
Okay.
Well, so the downside of declarative models is that they are somehow Most times a little bit hard to interpret.
Actually, we were trying to work here also on developing the visualization for declarative models, but it's very hard to understand how to develop that also, and or how to make users understand that.
Yes, I think it's a very, very nice research area because of the power of declarative models. If we can, as a community, process mining community, enable users better to use that power, that would be, I think, a big step forward.
Okay, now a question out of nowhere. Did companies try to approach you and, I don't know, buy you basically, or buy your algorithm? Did it ever happen?
Yes, it did. But the inductive miner and also the tool that we talked about earlier, the directly follows visual miner, they are GPL. So they are completely free to use. You can include them, you can put them online, you can do anything, you can edit them, no problem, it's all open. So I was not able to take the bag of money.
Well, but you need to understand them too. I think, I mean, how to actually develop the scalable solution. And so are you consulting someone or?
Well, now with the discovery tool to say, what I'm personally promoting is to use conformance checking. So I'm actually helping quite a few industry partners with that. So the challenge is indeed to find a model, a process model, but you can make it much easier if you use a combination of automated discovery and conformance checking and update the model up until the point you're happy with the model you have. So conformance checking allows you to see where the model still deviates from the event log, and then you can fix it manually and continue like that. So we do that with industry partners.
And if assume that now some industry guys who want to develop new tools are listening to this podcast, what would you wish them not to make mistakes in their tools, and what do you wish them to implement better?
Well, I first of all wish that they specify the semantics and make them public. So if I see a model from your tool, what does it mean? Can I take a customer, a claim, or an order from my system? Can I put that next to the model and then say, is it properly defined? Or how can I tell, is this customer in the model or not? That's my first wish. And okay. The second wish is that vendors, and some of them actually are doing that. For instance, the company Meerwerk, they offer conformance checking. So it is not impossible. That's what we have shown. And we think that it is very, very important for the process mining field that our results are kind of verifiable. Because yes, we have to filter in order to get a properly looking model. We have to throw out behavior, but we also need to show what we throw out.
So basically now in most of the tools, or maybe all of the tools, they're commercial tools, there is no conformance checking as such.
Most of them there is not, but I've already seen that the couple of major ones, for instance, Celonis is working on conformance checking. They already have some conformance checking in their tool for end users, and I also recently saw that Process Gold is also working on it. So it is coming. So I hope that this will continue, and that they will find ways to make it truly, let's say, useful for users. So fast, intuitive, and so on.
And how do you see the basically in 5 years the algorithms itself themselves, like, so you see them integrated with conformance checking, I guess?
Yeah, it's a bit of a hybrid version between machine and human intelligence, such that you can use domain knowledge to better make a model. But what I also see coming is that right now, models will only tell you what is possible. So the next step in the process, we call it the control flow perspective. Which activities can happen when and in what order? What I think will come next to that or on top of that is how likely it is that particular steps happen. So for instance, if you have an exception in your model, how often did that now happen in your event log? And again, it depends on the use case. Do you want to see it? Do you not want to see it? But can we also quantify? So put a number on it, like this is how much the model is reliable. And link that, if you link that to data quality, I think we can make some further big steps in the process mining community.
Okay. Thank you. I guess I have no more questions to ask.
Oh, that's a pity. It was a pleasure to be on your show.
Okay, thank you. And I will link on the show notes information how to find you, how to find your research. And yep, thank you for coming to our side of data.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And have a good day for the rest of this Friday.
Yeah, and have a good evening.
Yeah, all right.
In case you want to see more of Sander Lehmann's research, I will link some of his projects in the show notes. If you have questions or comments to the show, reach us at Twitter at asideofdata or via email asideofdata@protonmail.com.